Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect on this fine Friday. We are presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 444-7200. Don't forget that Bosky also provides plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. We're joined, as we always are on Fridays, by our friend Brian Cochran. Brian, how are you?
I'm having a good day, Jim. How about you?
Did you already got your work out in for the day? You got a little sunshine? Heck, it can't be bad.
No, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good.
Hey, in our second half of our show today, or actually for about three quarters of the show, we're going to be visiting with Ben Corson. He's written a new book. It's called Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression. But Brian always comes in to calm our fears as we go through kind of the week. But Brian, you've got a kind of a special message today. We are often worried, all of us, I think, about making financial mistakes. What kind of perspective could we hold to prevent ourselves from making bad decisions financially?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is to be very aware when you're going through a major transition. So we talk about this with our clients a lot, and oftentimes we first meet new clients when they're going through a life transition. When I say life transition, it could be just a whole bunch of different things. There's probably 50 or 60 different categories. It could be a divorce, a marriage, buying a home, selling a home, starting a business or selling a business. Maybe you lost your spouse or you lost a loved one, a family member, and you received an inheritance. These are all examples of things we go through just in the course of life that often have financial implications. Some of those have opportunities to make money and do great things, but almost all of them have opportunities to make a potentially significant financial mistake that could set you back. So what we try to teach people is to prepare for these big transitions rather than repair the damage afterwards. And we see too often that people come back and seek advice and counsel from a professional like myself in the repair stage where they didn't prepare, they made mistakes, and now they need someone to help them pick up the pieces.
I've heard a lot of Bible teachers teach, Brian, that emotions are kind of based in the heart of man. And, of course, Jeremiah said the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So I'm imagining that when some of these difficult transitions happen, a divorce, marriage, buying a home, you've already mentioned those, these are all really emotionally charged events. And so prepare kind of keeps you from making decisions in the midst of emotion, it sounds like.
Jim, you nailed it. And that is so true that we see that emotion come through during these times. And it's very hard to check our own emotions. I'm a big fan and a student of behavioral finance, which is the study of how our emotions and our behaviors impact our money decisions. And what we see time and time again is that without an accountability partner to keep us in check, our emotions can often cause us to make bad decisions. That's why even myself as a financial planner with experience and training, I still include outside counsel when I make a big financial decision for my family, especially in these life transitions we're talking about here, because I am just as much a victim of my behavioral and emotional mistakes as anybody else. So it's not a matter of how smart you are. We're all human beings built with these God-given emotions that drive our behaviors. And so one of the big takeaways, I love Proverbs 15:22. It says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And I think that's very true here.
Tell us how you work as a team of advisors at John Moore Associates, Brian.
So any good advisor will take the time to first understand what you're going through. So if you're going through a life transition, that's an opportunity to stop and ask a lot of questions. So I always warn people, if your first interaction with an advisor is more of a sales pitch and less of a interview, where you, the client, are being interviewed, that's a problem. Because you should be answering a lot of questions for that advisor so they can understand, what are you going through? And that's what we try to do when we first meet a client and then on an ongoing basis. You know, we talk with our clients, but we also listen and we ask a lot of questions. And that helps us stay aware of what's really happening in this person's life and what emotions are coming to play, which, again, like you nailed right on the head, it's always a factor. We have to try to identify those emotions so that we can help clients become aware of those emotions and maybe how those could lead them astray. So people think that our job is often about stock picking and market timing, and there are some investment factors to what we do, certainly. But much of our time is spent in counsel with clients, trying to help listen and guide them rather than sell them investments or constantly change their portfolio.
And Brian, I would imagine that there's pressure. For example, in the case of an inheritance where you've lost a loved one and there's been some money or some assets left, there's usually siblings or other relatives and things, and it becomes emotionally charged not just for you, but for everybody around you. And you kind of counsel with people when you first get working with them about how they can make sure that their assets are not part of a big fight at the end if they were to pass away. And I know you don't actually do the wills and those kind of things, but that must be all part of the plan that you put together for them.
Exactly. And what a great example of being prepared. So having good estate planning documents and putting your family in a position where they're not subject to argument and battles. You know, one example, you know, talking about end-of-life situations is we encourage family meetings for our clients. So if they're going to make a dramatic change to their estate plan, don't let the kids find out about that after you're gone. And what we explain to the client is you can be prepared for this rather than have the family fall apart and need to be repaired later. But one way to do that is to acknowledge that there's going to be a family meeting. It's just a matter of whether you'll be there or not. That family meeting may happen after you're gone, and now there may be conflict. So doing things ahead of time, being thoughtful, communicating with the everybody who's interested in the situation, all of that helps you with this preparation phase. And part of it, what we're talking about here, is about slowing down, too. Just, you know, understanding that change is coming, and we need to pause, acknowledge that change, be considerate about, okay, how does this impact me and my finances, but also those around me, and then seek wise counsel so that you can make a good decision. What we often see is people rush into financial decisions because of the emotions, primarily fear and greed in most cases. And then after the fact, the fog clears and they sit back and they go, wow, that was a big mistake. And often it's a mistake they can't correct. It's something that the time has passed and now we have to start over, maybe with less resources than they otherwise would have.
Brian, let me give you a scenario, and I know that you're never going to tell someone what they should do with their money. You're just going to give them wise counsel. But let's say somebody were to, you know, inherit, let's say, $300,000-$400,000, and they may be renting an apartment or something like that. So they decide, gee, I can't find a house on the market right now, so I'm going to build something. And I have seen so many times as a former banker and really a specialist in construction lending, part of my job was to balance people out, and I would try to do this as early as I could. I obviously was very, very sensitive to, hey, look, if you just put this money in with a guy like a Brian Cochran, you're going to have X amount of return. But if you go out right now and you try to buy a, or you try to build a $300,000 house in an area where most of the houses are worth $150,000 or $100,000, that's not going to be a good investment for you. But so many times that was kind of like a battle, and people weren't really counting the cost of what they were about to do.
Absolutely, and I love the verse Luke 14:28. It says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? And what we try to help people do is really understand the true costs of what they're doing financially, but also to understand the trade-offs. So it's not that building a home is a bad thing, but what are the trade-offs? If all of your inheritance goes there, what can you not do with that money? Well, that's money that's not going to be available if you want to take your family on a trip, or if you want to save for retirement, or if you want to reduce other debts. Maybe there's tax bills due as you bring on that inheritance that you need to be prepared for. And so we try to direct people into the uses of money that we often discuss, which is live, give, owe, and grow. And we try to balance, okay, which of these are priorities right now, and where should we allocate these resources? So again, that's about slowing down, getting someone who's an objective party, you know, third party with wise counsel, and then count that cost and understand, what am I really getting myself into here? And the fact that we work with over 500 families, we've probably been through the situation that you're looking at before. And we've learned lessons through our other clients that we can then pass along to you.
Brian, I want to give out your web address one more time. It's johnmoore.com. One tab is particularly interesting to me, and I like to go to it very frequently, and that's your insights tab. You are posting things that have to do with investing and best practices, and you have different people from outside your group that come in and give some counsel. You have webinars and all those kind of things. So it's a very useful tool for people to go into for free.
Absolutely. So, yeah, johnmoore.com, all of our information's there, and we should have our latest Education Day event where we had 3 hours of guest speakers bringing really valuable content on COVID, on markets, on health and wellness. All of that content will be hitting the Insights page in the next few days. So we're super excited to bring that to the community.
Brian, I did want to ask you two quick questions, if we could. We've got a minute or so left. The first question is, everybody's counting down the first 100 days of Joe Biden. And as we get closer and closer within the next 2 months to that final 100 days, people are getting more and more nervous about the economy. Is that something they should be really focused on and changing their portfolios?
I wouldn't be changing my portfolio. I think if you have imbalances in your portfolio, this can be a wise time to correct that. Maybe your portfolio has grown because stocks have grown, and you need to correct that by taking some of those stocks off the table and rebalancing. But I would be hesitant to make big, dramatic tactical changes to your portfolio. Those often turn out to be mistakes. So if you don't have a plan that's driving your portfolio, this is a good time to build one, so that you're making a decision on your investments and on your savings for the long term, rather than maybe subjecting yourself to short-term panic that may come from political uncertainty.
Second question, Brian, has to do with, I think I already know the answer, but a gentleman was telling me that he has an opportunity to pull about $100,000 cash out of about a $400,000 house, and he can finance that at about 2.5%. He thinks he can invest it at 4%. Is that a good idea?
We generally recommend against that, and the reason is the Bible teaches us not to never have debt. There's no abolition of debt in the Bible, but it does warn us about misusing debt. And I would put that in the example of misusing debt because you're presuming on the future, and the future is never guaranteed. It's always uncertain. So we can't guarantee that you're going to receive more than that 2.5% that you're paying on that debt. So you're adding risk to your circumstances by doing that. And that's something we've had to recommend against, and it's usually a sign of what we call bubble behavior, where people are over-exuberant about the potential for the future, which is often a sign that things are extended. So I would definitely recommend against that kind of speculative behavior.
Well, Brian, I appreciate you so much being on the show. As you know, I've called you a couple different times. I've had people email me at jim@abqconnect.online. I've had a couple of phone calls. Various people on our staff here at Calvary Church are asking questions, and I run those by you. So thank you so much for spending your time with us today, and hope you have a wonderful weekend. I understand you had a nice Valentine's Day with the wife last weekend.
Yep. So I actually missed our call last Friday because I had different priorities last weekend. But, yeah, we had some great one-on-one time. It's always good, you know, when you have kids, you get a couple days away from them and you're so excited to see them again. So it's that nice balance between trying to be a husband and a father. And, yeah, I think we're doing pretty well on that balance right now.
Amen. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today on ABQ Connect. I appreciate it.
God bless you, Jim. Bye-bye.